May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 924. Great rock for weary sinners made, when storms of sin distress the soul, here let me rest my weary head when lightnings blaze and thunders roll. Hymn 924.
read the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament, which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world hath he appeared, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may he now help us in prayer. Most holy and gracious Lord, we ask thy blessing on the service this evening. Lord, who sanctify to us the sacred truths we have been reading, the way of access through a great and glorious high priest, even into the holiest of all, so as sinners we would draw near. We pray that we might be inner court worshippers, and oh, may we catch a glimpse of the King in his beauty. Oh, but this our incessant cry must be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. We would meet under the influence of thy grace. under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, especially bringing us to the Redeemer's feet, may be in true worship, and do favour us with thy gracious presence, that we might be found in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Deliver us from our own spirit, shut out the world, shut us in with thyself, and ever keep, as we pray, from deadness and darkness and hardness in the things of God. May there be a flowing. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That freedom and the heavenly dew resting on our branch and the sweet savour of Christ. Oh, but do seal the word home in sinners' hearts in a way of conviction, showing them their lost condition, their danger, in deliverance, in mercy, and then in teaching, in exhortation, in sweet constraining. But let not thy word return to thee void, but accomplish that which thou dost please, and prosper in the thing whereto thou dost send it. And our gathering this evening may be unto Shiloh, for unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Grant thy forgiveness, cleansing in the Saviour's blood. Increase our faith to look to thee, to rest on thee, to trust thee. Oh, may our religion be real, may it be right, fit and prepare us for the last great day, may not come upon us unawares. And do be with us in our pilgrimage. Hold us fast, keep us near thee. Deliver us in the hour of temptation. We pray that thou wilt preserve us in our goings out and in our comings in. Oh, but we pray for that vital knowledge of the Saviour, whom to know is eternal life, to know him in the wonders of his love. May there be that vital knowledge, and our hearts made soft and tender in thy fear. We thank thee for thy mercy, so many, so great, so free. We pray for that spirit of real gratitude, having obtained the help of God, and only as having obtained thy help, we continue even to this day. We pray, bless thy people everywhere. Bless the faithful preaching of the everlasting gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, we pray, that Jesus might see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. As the collections today here are for the Haiti Disaster Fund, we would pray for thy kind help and mercy there, and that gracious upholding, especially those who are of the household of faith. Bless our churches, remember them, our ministers, grant a gracious effect and a godly increase in our congregations. And we do beg that thou wilt command thy blessing here. Grant thy blessing on the work in the Sabbath school, and in the preaching of the gospel here. The Lord confirm the word with signs following. Oh, we do pray that there might be a people here formed for thyself, who shall show forth thy praise. And do deal with cases, may sinners here be born. Of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, the Highest himself shall establish her. And do feed the souls of thy people, abundantly bless the provision of thy house, satisfy thy poor with bread. Where needful, correct, chastise, reprove. As we read this morning, they whom thou favourest much, the Lord loveth, chasteneth them that he loveth. May there be a word in season for seeking, inquiring souls. Grant the sweet assurance of faith. May the topstone of sweet assurance and gospel liberty be laid in its place. Oh, may none be left satisfied with the form of godliness without the power thereof. Amidst it all, we would see Jesus. Bless those who are growing old, aged ones no longer able to attend, those in illness, and we think of the severe illness and the recovery thus far. Pray thou wilt go on to be gracious. Thy touch, we know, has still its ancient power. Oh, be with young and old in every illness, and we think of those in trouble, sorrow, bereavement, disappointment, the crosses they have to carry here and throughout our congregations. Appear for them. Command deliverance for them, we pray. And may they prove the eternal God their refuge, and underneath the everlasting arms. And we pray for those who have to deal with the world, meet with them in business or in studies. Bless the families. Oh, do give parents grace, wisdom, ability to stand firm and to bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And bless the young people. Oh, may there be a generation here to serve thee, to call the Redeemer blessed, of whom it shall be said, they shall come, and shall declare unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Go on, thou mighty God, thy wonders to make known, till every sinner bought with blood shall trust in Christ alone. And do bless the children and the little ones. We thank thee for the children, the little ones born under the sound of the gospel, but what a wicked world. Oh, bind the floods from overflowing. May they be found under the shadow of the Almighty. And if they are found in Jesus' hands, their souls can ne'er be lost. We pray especially for personal blessings. Do not pass us by. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest to thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. or take away our iniquity, receive us graciously. May our prayers come up acceptably through the Son of thy love. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 10. 'Twas with an everlasting love that God his own elect embraced, before he made the worlds above, or earth on her huge columns placed. Hymn number 10.
Thank you.
Lord's help, I will speak to you once again this evening from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The 12th chapter, the Epistle to the Hebrews, verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. We have a long list, a long catalogue here of the blessings of the people of God. It's just like a majestic building rising higher and higher, and this is the top stone of it all. And to Jesus, the people of God, eternally loved, divinely favoured, not brought to Sinai, not brought to the place of condemnation, not brought to the place of death, but to the gospel, to Mount Zion. And that threefold union, the saints on earth and the saints in heaven and the angels, and this blessed union and this blessed salvation and this blessed security. But then you see, he crowns it all with this, that you come to all these things, but above all, and ye are come unto Jesus. That's the top stone. That's the greatest blessing. But it's the opposite as well. It's the foundation. The foundation on which all these blessings rest. Without the Lord Jesus, there wouldn't be one of these blessings. But the believer has them all in Christ. And you see, this is where the Holy Spirit is leading, bringing every sinner saved by grace, graciously drawing them to Jesus, for their salvation, to Jesus, their only hope, to Jesus, their only plea. And that's where they're brought, that's where they come. And Jesus said, and he, as Bunyan says, whoever that he is, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And to Jesus. Well, you might ask the question, why is there not a full stop here? Why does the word not end here? And to Jesus. Why is it not amen? Why is it nothing more can be said? And to Jesus. Why do all these other things follow? The mediator, the new covenant, the blood of sprinkling, speaking better things than that of Abel. Now, beloved friends, I take the reason to be this. You come to Jesus as a sinner, led by the Spirit of God, but you're not come to Jesus just to teach you. You're not come to Jesus just to see his example and try to follow it. You need a mediator who shed his blood that you might be saved. And as you're led as a sinner by the Holy Spirit to Jesus for salvation, it's to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And these are not just doctrines. These are things that the venturing coming sinner, brought by the Spirit of God, painfully needs. Because if your religion's real, if you're divinely taught, you will need a mediator. You'll need all kinds of things, but you will need a mediator. Now, you young people, do you know what a mediator is? He's a person who comes between if there are two people who have had a disagreement or a quarrel. The mediator, he comes between to bring them together, to make peace between them. But he must be a person acceptable to each of these at variance. He must be able to represent them both. It's no use if this one trusts him and this other one doesn't. Oh, the great need between a holy God and a guilty sinner is a mediator. They've been at variance ever since Adam fell. And a sinner cannot approach a holy God without a mediator. Can you follow what Martin Luther meant when he said, "Let me have nothing to do with an absolute God"? He meant God revealed in his holiness, greatness, majesty, glory, and no mediator to stand between. I think you'll find that every religion, whatever sort it is, realizes the need of a mediator. However false the religion, see, the Roman Catholic religion has its priesthood, mediators coming between. And even these terrible heathen religions, they have a witch doctor or something like that. They know you cannot directly approach God. It's still in the human conscience. Oh, we need a mediator. And in the covenant of grace, before all worlds, God appointed his own beloved Son to be the mediator. The mediator who should stand between himself and the guilty sinner. And so he came to deal with the alienation, the enmity. What was it? The sin and guilt. And as mediator he shed his blood to take the cause of the enmity, the cause of the difference, out of the way. As the apostle opens it up so beautifully in Ephesians chapter 2, in the conclusion, that ye in Christ Jesus, who sometime were far off. Well, without a mediator, you were far off. You couldn't draw nigh. But ye, in Christ Jesus, who sometime were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So Joseph Hart sings, "Saints, raise your expectations high. Hope all that heaven has good, The blood of Christ has made you now invaluable blood, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. How can this sinner approach a holy God? How can he find acceptance? And that's the great point. Because the last great day is hastening on, and you and I will either be accepted or rejected. But how can I find acceptance? How can I find access? Come to God I must. If I stay away, I must forever die. But how can I come? And what about prayer? How can I venture before a holy God in prayer? I am sinful. My prayers are sinful. How can I hope to be received, or my prayers to be received? You know, there's one verse in our hymn book which has been made a blessing to many, and it's this. Since the Saviour stands between, in garments dyed in blood, 'tis he, instead of me is seen, when I approach to God, thus though a sinner, I am saved. Are you not come to all these things as led by the Spirit of God, and not to Sinai and the mount that might be touched, and the fire and the blackness and the darkness and the tempest, but ye are come unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and there in him to find a loving well. In him to be able to venture. In him to find access even into the immediate presence of a great and holy and heart-searching God. That wonderful word, accepted in the Beloved. You know, when people die, they have all kinds of things put on their graves. It'd be a wonderful thing if this could be said of you and me, accepted in the Beloved, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Let me just give a very simple illustration of the need, the value, the importance of a mediator. You must excuse me if I've ever told the little story before in Swavesey pulpit. But a century or two ago, there was a soldier in terrible distress in North America. He was sentenced to death. And his only hope was if the president would give him a reprieve, grant forgiveness. So the poor man, in his distress and in his innocence, he walked all the way, and he thought he could go in and see the president. He was almost mocked at, he was almost laughed at by the guards. They said, well, people can't go and see the president. He's a great man, he doesn't see people. He just can't go in. He's not permitted. There's no access to him. And the poor man, in his terrible trouble, he sat down outside the White House with his head in his hands in deep sorrow. And a young boy came kindly up to him. He said, can I help you? And the poor man told his story. The young boy said, look, come with me. He took him along, and the dejected man followed. He went right up to the doors of the White House, and the guard smiled and opened the door for him. He took him right in, knocked at the door, entered the president's room. He said, "Here, Father, I found a poor man in trouble. For my sake, do help him." You see, he was the president's son. And he had that perfect right of access. He could just go in. And the poor dejected man, he no grounds, no right, no play. But you see, well, in the terminology here, he found a mediator. That young boy was a mediator. He came between the president and the man sentenced to death. And he obtained mercy for him. He obtained pardon. And that's just a faint illustration. Our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, risen, exalted, glorified at his Father's right hand as the mediator. What does the apostle say again in that Ephesians chapter 2? Through him we have access by the Spirit unto the Father. And there in heaven tonight he sits as the mediator on the twofold ground of his relationship with his Father and of the work which he accomplished. Ye come unto Jesus. Not to the law, not to the condemnation, not to be cast out as you deserve. You come unto Jesus. These are the gospel privileges. Led by the Spirit of God as a sinner, you come unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. There is a second aspect of what it means for Jesus to be the mediator of the new covenant. First of all, he's the one who stands between. But secondly, he's the one through whom all the blessings of the covenant of grace flow down to sinners. He's the mediator who stands between in that sense. You see, the covenant of grace, God's everlasting love to his people, the plan of salvation. There are 10,000 blessings treasured up there. And they all come to sinners in one way, and one way alone, and one channel alone, and that is through Jesus as the mediator. Which means, beloved friends, if there's any blessing you are seeking, is it forgiveness, is it pardon, is it cleansing, is it anything that's treasured up in the covenant of grace, then the only way you can find it, the only way you can receive it, is through the person of the mediator. It's through him that all blessings flow. Now, oh, to be brought there feelingly, experimentally tonight, drawn there by the Spirit of God. We've come to chapel, but oh, maybe this, we've come even unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. This precious blood of Jesus was shed at Calvary. It atones for all sin. This precious blood is the fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness, where sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. This blood is precious blood, redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. This precious blood is cleansing blood. It's redeeming blood. It's sheltering blood. But this is what the sinner needs. As taught by the Spirit of God, as born again, he needs forgiveness. He needs cleansing. And so he's led by the Spirit to the great mediator, the Lord Jesus, shedding his blood that sinners might live, dying that they might live eternally. And that's where the Holy Spirit leads the sinner. Not just to Jesus as that beautiful example. Not just to Jesus in that gracious teaching. But to Jesus as the Saviour. Jesus as the Redeemer. Who shed his precious blood. That sinners might live. This is the song of the redeemed eternally in heaven unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And this is the only way that a guilty sinner can ever come to heaven. It's by the way of the cross. The footsteps of the redeemed in their heavenly pilgrimage, they always go by the way of Calvary. So John in the Revelation, he viewed that great multitude that no man can number, and that question, who are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? The whole of the redeemed in heaven. He said, sir, thou knowest, these are they that came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, therefore, on no other ground, therefore, for no other reason, are they before the throne, washed in the blood of Christ. Ye are come to Jesus. Oh, may it be true of us. May we be led there, graciously drawn there. Sinners are invited there. Sinners are welcome there. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, you may ask the question, why is the blood of Jesus, that precious blood he shed on the cross, spoken of as the blood of sprinkling, the blood of sprinkling? Well, in the Old Testament, there was so much about the blood being sprinkled. In Hebrews chapter 9, we read quite a lot about the sprinkling of the blood. Mount Horeb, Moses, he sprinkled all the people with the blood. And he sprinkled the book with the blood, and he sprinkled all the vessels of the sanctuary with the blood. And of course, before that, on that solemn Passover night, the blood was not just shed. The Paschal Lamb died, but the blood had to be sprinkled on the lintels and on the doorpost of the house. And then again, on the great day of atonement, the high priest had got to take the blood of the sacrifice and he got to sprinkle it on the mercy seat. We talk about it, don't we? It is almost a strict Baptist phrase, isn't it? The blood sprinkled mercy seat. So, the blood of sprinkling. I take it to mean this, to have a personal interest in the work of Jesus, to have a personal interest in the death that he died. It's not some kind of mystical, fanciful thing, this expression, the Holy Spirit sprinkling the blood on a guilty sinner's conscience, it's to have a personal interest in it. That Passover night, the destroying angel was to pass through the land. There's to be death at every house. The death of the firstborn in the houses of the Egyptian, or the death of the lamb in the place of the firstborn, that substitution. But you see, that paschal lamb, it had to be slain, and the blood had to be kept. But it got to be sprinkled personally on each house. If the blood wasn't sprinkled there, there'd be the death of the firstborn. There was safety under the blood, for it was the sprinkled blood. The blood shall be for you a token on the houses where ye are, sprinkled there. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the curse shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. It's the sprinkled blood. Which in very simple but solemn language means this. In the Word of God, we read of Jesus shedding his precious blood. And all his people saved by it. Now we sing of it so often in our beautiful hymns, in our hymn book, don't we? And we hear of it in the glorious gospel of the grace of God. But if you and I are to be saved, if you and I are to get to heaven, we must be personally taught by the Holy Spirit our need of an interest in it as sinners, and we must be led by the Spirit personally to trust in that precious sin-atoning blood. Now you see, that's the blood of sprinkling. It means a personal interest in, and that's what David meant in that 51st Psalm. He said, purge me with hyssop. You know what hyssop was, don't you? It was a little plant. And it was used by the Jews for one purpose, sprinkling the blood. They got a bunch of hyssop to sprinkle the blood. So David, under that awful sense of guilt, when he cried, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean, he wanted a personal interest. He knew it was the blood of sprinkling. He wanted to know it personally. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It's a great question, isn't it? What is whiter than snow? Well, I don't think you've had so much snow at Swavesey as we did in Luton. But when the snow came, it was beautifully spotless white. And there it lay on the houses and on the roads. But you know, a day or two later it was tarnished. There was soot and dirt and mire, whiter than snow. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin, past, present and to come. You know, they said, Mr. Popham used to quote it a lot, the blood of Christ. A precious blood cleanseth from all sin, doubt it not, and reconciles the soul to God from every folly, every fault. We're on vital things here, beloved friends. This is the way to heaven, the only way to heaven. This is the way of forgiveness, the only way of forgiveness. This is not something reserved for the Apostle Paul or some eminent saints. This is not some visionary experience. It's a guilty sinner realizing his need, led by the Spirit to the cross of Christ, and to be sweetly enabled to trust there, to rest your everlasting all there, to know an interest personally in the blood there. Now, that's the blood of sprinkling. Here come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, first, this seems a strange expression. Can blood speak? Does blood speak? Well, in the book of Genesis, we have that expression. You remember that Abel was murdered by his brother Cain. And God said to Cain, the voice of thy brother Abel crieth unto me out of the ground. His blood was crying aloud. What was it crying for? It was crying for vengeance. It was crying for revenge. Now, the blood of Jesus was shed at the hands of cruel men. Our hymn writer sings of it, doesn't he? The hellish monsters spilt. But the blood of Jesus doesn't cry aloud for revenge against those who shed it, like the blood of Abel did. It cries aloud for mercy and pardon and forgiveness and acceptance and salvation. And so it speaks. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So the blood of Jesus speaks. And the blood of Jesus has a voice, and it did when Jesus died, and it has that same almighty, all-prevailing voice this evening. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. May it speak in our midst tonight. The blood of Jesus speaks in two places. In two places. It speaks in a guilty sinner's heart. It speaks to a burdened conscience. It speaks to one confessing his sin. It speaks to one seeking mercy. And what does it say? What does it speak? Well, it speaks pardon to that venturing, confessing sinner. It speaks peace. We often hear that expression, don't we? His peace speaking blood. It speaks mercy. It speaks of the love of Christ to sinners. It speaks of the complete remission of sins. It speaks of salvation. It speaks of heaven. Oh, it's the blood of sprinkling. Oh, what we want, what we long for, beloved friends, even this evening, for the Holy Spirit. It's not something outward, something carnal, something fanciful. To take the merit of the atonement, all that Jesus accomplished when he died, and bring it home savingly and feelingly into our hearts. And it will say, sinner, thy sins which are many are all forgiven thee. Oh, this blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The other place where the blood of Jesus speaks is in heaven. It speaks in the conscience. It speaks in heaven. Because in the Old Testament, the blood was sprinkled on the people, and it was sprinkled on the lintels and doorposts of the house. But don't forget, on the great day of atonement, when the sacrifice had been offered and the blood had been shed, Aaron, as the high priest, he had to take that blood into the holiest of all, and he had to sprinkle it there, on the mercy seat, as a symbolical act for the acceptance of guilty, sinful Israel. And Christ is not entered into that holy place made with hands, which is the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, there to appear in the presence of God for us. We're told that by his own blood, he entered in once, it was a finished work, once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And if you're a sinner saved by grace, the blood of Jesus, even this evening, is speaking for you in heaven. Sometimes you can't speak very well, very much for yourself. Sometimes you find it hard to pray, but oh, to see this great and glorious exalted high priest, once crucified, presenting the merit of his blood before the throne. Our great high priest, before the throne presents the merit of his blood for our acceptance, pleads his own, and proves our cause completely good. So what does the blood of sprinkling speak for in heaven? It speaks on behalf of that guilty sinner whose mouth is dumb, who cannot speak for himself, whose mouth has been closed, and it cries aloud to the Father for mercy, for that sinner's acceptance, for that sinner's forgiveness, for that sinner's salvation, for that sinner's entry into heaven. In a word, beloved friends, it's this, the last hymn in the hymn, what voice is this that speaks for me in heaven's high court for good, and from the curses set me free? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
Last Lord's Day was £645, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Pickett next Lord's Day, and the collections today are for disaster relief in Haiti. Let us close with hymn 788. Come, ye humble sinner train, souls for whom the Lamb was slain, cheerful let us raise our voice, we have reason to rejoice. Let us sing with saints in heaven, life restored and sin forgiven, glory and eternal Lord be to our incarnate God. Hymn 788.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with us forever. Amen.